Welcome into another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
And thanks as always for listening on WGR550.com. Dude. Well, I think Ryan's famous.
Oh, he's very famous.
He might be famous.
He might be.
Ryan.
He very well is.
Our esteemed colleague, Ryan Gates. I don't know if esteemed is the right word, but definitely our colleague and our friend, Ryan Gates.
Yes.
He had an article written about himself about the fact that he is indeed leaving the full-time position for WGR for Chopin Bulldog.
Yep.
As the full-time producer. This is... It made it onto Reddit.
I'm looking at it now.
It is terrific.
It's fantastic.
So, it's getting some headway here that he followed through on a promise to quit. It was written by New York Upstate, Ryan Talbot, a friend of ours, that Gates was following through on the promise to quit if the Bills drafted Josh Allen. And there are some Cleveland people that really, really seem to be a little jealous about the fact that he held his word.
I wonder why.
One of the comments underneath the story is, at least he held his word, even if it's dumb. Meanwhile, Cleveland fans are still awaiting the retirement of one insider and the radio host who, in this said article, he said he was going to eat horse poop if they drafted Baker Mayfield. By the way, they drafted Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I don't remember which radio host it was, but I do. But yeah, this was a thing.
Yeah, that was a thing. It's incredible. I love how that actually happened. So, yeah, Ryan's famous.
Yeah.
He made it. He did it.
Yeah, he did it.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, I guess we wanted to start there. Was a quick little thing with Ryan and how his story is kind of getting a little bit of a bump. So, nice little fun thing to start the day with. Now, what else can we talk about here that isn't hockey? I think we start with the NBA Finals, Game 3 tonight. And Cleveland, kind of put up the game that I expected after that loss in Game 1. There's no way this isn't a sweep, right? I mean, maybe Cleveland takes one game at home.
Maybe LeBron has another legendary performance and this time gets a win. But it's very hard to see this series lasting more than 5 games.
Absolutely. There's no way that this is not a short series. There's no way that this is not just over and done with just like that. I think that it's over. I think that, look, the Warriors have broken the NBA. There is no parity. There is only death to 29 other teams that aren't Golden State. And what does it mean? Well, it means that it's not right. And I feel like it needs to be fixed up a little bit. But I thought about something at the end of the day with all of this. And it's this, Frank. Maybe we should stop, we as sports fans, I don't do this particularly myself, but we as sports fans, maybe we should stop pumping up the importance of championships all of the time.
You're just saying this now.
I'm just saying this now because of the fact that, well, that leads to a Kevin Durant decision. To spinelessly chase after a championship with a super team because he wants to be remembered.
Well, there's nothing wrong. Okay.
And what's the way to be remembered?
I don't blame Kevin Durant because, in a way, I blame him for breaking the NBA, but he wanted to go. He had a chance to go to a team
where
he had the best chance to win a ring. Yeah, because that's what you, when you're a player, when you're an athlete, that's what you want to do. You want to win. Sometimes a team that, if you're in a team sport, sometimes the team that you're on just doesn't give you the best chance to win.
And I understand that. And maybe we find out one day that it wasn't necessarily about the fact that he wanted to go necessarily to Golden State, more so than he wanted to get away from Russell Westbrook or something like that.
That may probably be the case, too.
But
I would also...
That's merely speculation.
I would also argue that if a team like Minnesota was this up-and-coming super team, pretty much, if Minnesota and Golden State pretty much had switched places, Durant probably would goes to Minnesota.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't really, you know, it's he wanted the ring. That's what he wanted.
He wanted a ring, and I think part of that has to do with the fact that we as a culture and as sports media as well.
We have to remember LeBron did the same thing.
LeBron did the same thing, yes, I do agree. And I think, though, the biggest thing about all that was LeBron was still at least making it to the NBA Finals in Cleveland.
He did it once.
He still made it there. And LeBron was still the guy. What is Kevin Durant on a Golden State team that has Steph Curry and Klay Thompson? He's a role player. He's not the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not the guy. It's Steph. And Golden State was already good without him. The fact that they are better with him obviously speaks to what kind of a scorer he is. But, I mean... what are people going to remember Kevin Durant for if they sweep Cleveland and they've lost a total of one game?
It depends on after this year, because he only signed a 2-year contract.
Yes.
And I don't remember if there was a player option for a third or a team option for a third, but if he leaves after this year and goes to another team, that's his opportunity to try again to be the guy and lead his team to a championship.
He is unrestricted, by the way. Unrestricted there. Because there was the 2018 player option, he declined.
That's right. Okay. So, yeah, so there was. So, yeah, he's a free agent this year. He could go to another team and be the guy.
The early reports, though, is that he wants to restructure his contract with the Warriors and earn a lot more money than he's being paid right now.
What? Having your sound on. Okay, well, then maybe he doesn't want to be the guy. Maybe he wants to be like the second best on the team or whatever. If it means winning.
And again, how seriously should I take you then? I don't know. I loathe what happened here. Because you were able to take on big threes and there would be series. There would be finals. There would be teams that actually had a chance to go on with you. But when you've got to deal with four guys, because you add in Draymond Green into this mix.
Yeah.
You got four guys on a top heavy team that could play all of the minutes. Then it just shows what can actually truly be insurmountable. Because the Rockets had to stack their roster like that to even have a chance.
Yeah.
And even they still didn't do it well because Chris Paul got hurt. If Chris Paul was not injured...
It's a different series.
It's a different team in the series.
Yeah.
It's a different team in the NBA Finals. But, I mean, teams deal with injuries. That's something that happens. And you're supposed to have guys that are supposed to be able to step up. But when you're facing four all-stars that are constantly in the lineup, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
The answer becomes nothing. You can't do anything. You just got to try to do something and go down swinging. Now, obviously, how much of this is LeBron James's fault comes to fruition here as well. Because he did go to Miami. And he teamed up with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
I think that's different.
Miami, though, was still... he was still the guy there. Even though it was Dwayne Wade's team, he was still the primary focus.
But also, Miami wasn't an all-world team when he joined. Miami only had Dwayne Wade at the time. Chris Bosh also signed with them at the same time LeBron did.
And they didn't come off of a 72-win season.
Yeah, exactly.
73-win season, right? They won 73-9?
No, I think they went 72-10.
Right.
still.
Either way, 73-9. They went 73-9. 73-9. And
didn't win the championship.
And they didn't win a championship because they lost in seven games, but they were one win away from a second straight championship.
Blew a 3-1 series lead.
Yes, but they were. Again,
yeah, I know.
I
know.
Can spin it's this differently, stoking. Saying that it's a one win away from a second straight NBA Finals. Oh, and then you signed Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
it's to me
pathetic.
I can't stand it. I really can't. I don't. This is why I'm not a huge fan of the NBA. Because of this fact. I think that the strangest thing is they came back from a 3-1 series deficit in that 73-1
yeah,
series
against
Durant and the Thunder.
Yep.
And it just showed this ultimate if you can't beat them, join them thing that seemed to be pretty weak. The equivalent would have been LeBron signing with the Boston Celtics when he couldn't defeat them on a constant basis. And they had a big three of Paul yeah. Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and why am I dumbing out on the other one?
Ray Allen.
Ray Allen, yes, that's right.
Then they had Rajon Rondo,
they
too.
They had Rajon Rondo in there as well in the mix. It just, that would have been the equivalent.
Yeah, that would have been more of an equivalent, yeah.
To what Kevin Durant did. And that didn't happen. I just, this is why I'm not huge on the NBA, because look, I'm a Sabres fan. And going into the year, I didn't think the team was going to be awful. There were people that thought that the Coyotes weren't going to be in the basement in the West.
I was one of them.
I was one of them, too. A lot of people did, because they made some pretty darn good moves, getting Stepan and Antti Raanta, and you're taking right steps. Clayton Keller was going to be coming into the lineup. So,
yeah.
Injuries do kind of affect what happens in the goaltending position there, and it kind of affects what they are capable of doing. But, again, heading into the season, you thought, okay, maybe they might be able to do something here. Maybe the Sabres take a step up after after having a slight step back under Dan Bylsma. You had some expectations this season, actually. What do you have in the NBA? What really matters? And that's where I have a problem with
going into the season. It was
Boston. It was the only other team I was hearing.
Boston in the East was the only team that had a chance to compete against Cleveland. And in the West, it was San Antonio was always talked about because they're, you know, San Antonio. But Houston was the other team.
Yeah. And guess what?
That was the conference finals.
It was those
four teams. And then Golden State and Cleveland still won. No, yeah, they're oh, we know there's no parity in the
There's no NBA. Parity in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yes, the NBA playoffs were more fun this year.
That is, but it
but
was.
This is the most annoying part of this league, is that the most universal thing happened again. Yeah, the Patriots are a universal thing. It happens again and again. But you know what? Even they stumble every now and then.
Yeah.
They haven't been there four straight years. That's for dang sure.
Yeah.
Man, is this what it felt like to root against the Bills, by the way? Four straight Super Bowls and
guess so.
But were they expected to go to all of those? Or at least the last two? Were they expected to go to the last two?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Definitely. I mean, no, it was more of, especially the fourth one, is that they didn't want them to.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they can't.
Yeah. But again, it just goes to show what is wrong with the NBA. And you know what? Yes, the best player in all of basketball, I think. At least in his era. The top two player in the NBA of all time. I'm never going to get into the Jordan and LeBron debate. Why? It's tiresome. They play different positions in different eras of basketball.
You're getting into the debate. Stop.
That's apples and oranges. That'd be like me saying, you know what? I've got to compare Dr. Pepper to a strawberry.
Sure.
Why? Because, well, I like both of those things. Both of those things are elite things in my book, but they're two different things. LeBron and Jordan played two different positions. Let the debate go and enjoy what you're seeing. Unless you're a division rival of his, then I get it. But that's it. That's my problem with the NBA. I don't expect Cleveland to win another game in the NBA Finals as long as they face Golden State. Yeah. I don't expect them to win a game. Not after what I saw.
Yeah.
So.
And that sucks to say that.
Because one of the best basketball players you're ever going to see in all of the times is not going... I don't expect him to win a single game in this series. That just shows you what the stacked deck is. And yes, I'm seeing complaints about the officiating. Do you really think that the NBA wants to market this as that? You sure they don't want to try to gravitate calls towards LeBron James? I think the officiating's just been bad. I don't think it's intentionally being bad. And I always hate the bias on things. No, refs do not have a bias. They sometimes just suck at their jobs like everyone else. You ever have a bad day at your job?
Yes.
You ever not file a business transaction in time? Or you failed to get that last sale of the day? Or you blew a tire?
You messed something up.
While changing someone else's tires out or something?
You broke something?
Have you ever hit your hand with an object when you're trying to do construction? Guess what? That means that you just sucked for a moment. And I do it all the time. I can't tell you how many times I stumble over my own words. But guess what? That doesn't mean I'm out to get someone here. It doesn't mean that anyone's out to get anyone here. You were relying on some guy to help you out with the closing of a sale, and you didn't do it. That doesn't mean he was out to get you. The refs managed to blow a foul call when LeBron was catching a pass in the air, and he basically got clipped in the legs by Klay Thompson. I don't know if it was purposely or accidentally. Was it Thompson or Curry? I don't remember. But both of them were in the vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, that doesn't mean that the refs are like, nah, forget this LeBron guy. No, of course not. It's not even like Golden State would be winning four of these in a row, which would be a historic run they haven't seen since the Celtics back in the day. You know what this means? It just means that refs sometimes are bad at their jobs just like everyone else. It happens. So stop, everyone, from Buffalo to California. Stop complaining about officials. They're not, and I may be wrong one day. Maybe refs are taking side money from another team.
Gambling is illegal now.
And I hope that it gets brought to light if that ever was the case. It just means they're doing a bad job sometimes. And it happens to everyone. Nobody is perfect. And if you go ahead and say, oh, if I screw up at my job, then I get fired. Well, I bet you're wrong. Because screw-ups do happen. They may be minor, but they do happen. You push a wrong button, I do that sometimes. It happens. It's a minor screw-up, but it is a screw-up. It gets pointed out, sometimes laughed at, and that's it. You move on. Ref blows a call. Well, oh well, it moves on. Stop complaining about officials. I took a turn left here.
A big turn left.
Big turn left. I mean, it really was a gradual turn. It wasn't really sharp. It just kind of built to this, but I still kind of ended up veering off the course. I don't even know if I should care about these last two games in the NBA Finals. I think it's more important to figure out where LeBron James is going after this, because he's not staying in
Cleveland. Yeah.
That video of game one when he found out that they had a timeout and LeBron could have stopped J.R. Smith from derping it up all over the place.
That would have been huge to be able to call a timeout with possession with the final seconds on the clock. You would have been able to draw up a play, everything of the sort. George Hill also could have hit on the free throw. But then again, that's Golden State with the ball with 6 seconds left. And a timeout to move the ball half court away so they could set up a play within 6 seconds. Which, you don't even need 6 seconds. All you got to do is tell Steph Curry, you're shooting the ball. But yeah, no, like, the NBA final does not excite me. It doesn't. I'm done caring about it.
There is a reason I'm not that big of an NBA fan.
Is it because there's only four teams that end up in the conference finals?
Then I don't really like basketball that much.
I like the game.
I just can never get into it.
I love college hoops.
Yeah, college hoops is fun.
You wanna know why? Because it doesn't matter. Teams just happen to have a chance, and it's fun.
Yeah, look at this year. Look, happened this past tournament.
Yeah.
Loyola.
And they went deep.
It's a Final Four.
So, yeah, that's where I am. The NBA is just a league that I can't get behind right now. I can't.
Do you want to talk about a finals that's at least been fun?
Yes.
That has parity?
Even though it might take a turn to the quick series, and that would actually kind of upset me.
Yeah.
It would upset me that I'm right. I want 7 games. And I think Vegas is good enough to win another game. That 6-2 game was not 6-2.
No.
Vegas thoroughly outplayed Washington throughout that first period until James Neal hit the post. You want to... I feel bad for that man right now.
Yeah, you do.
He is waking up over the last 2 days in a cold sweat. That is nightmare fuel. Could you imagine having to deal with that? That's got to suck.
Ugh.
1-0 Vegas, and it's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But then Vegas gets scored on first. And then it just goes from there. It keeps going, and it keeps building, and it keeps building. The series has been fun. And that 6-2 game is not very indicative of how that game was or how this series has gone. I'm actually kind of surprised that Vegas was the one that got blown out first in this series. Because blowout games happen.
Yeah, they do.
But I was a little surprised that it was Vegas first.
Yeah.
Because they had rarely lost, let alone got blown out in this postseason. The last time I saw Vegas end up getting scored on by such a wide margin, I picked the Jets to win in 5 games. That didn't go well.
It didn't go well.
But no, this has been a fun series. You're seeing Marc-Andre Fleury back down to normal Marc-Andre Fleury.
Slowing down.
You know, he's not the superhuman that he was.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, his save percentage is actually subpar in this series.
It's got awful.
But it's not about Fleury more so than it is what about the Capitals are doing right.
The team in front of Fleury has been letting him down, too. The defense is not playing as
Shea
well.
Shea Theodore's had a bad couple of games.
Yeah, it's been rough for him. The whole first line for Vegas has been a ghost
the whole series. The top three lines have been a ghost for most of the series.
Yeah, pretty much.
At least line one still produced every now and then.
I think a lot of what I'm noticing...
David Perron got healthy scratched. He's the second line.
No, he was hurt.
Oh, I thought he was scratched because...
No, he got hurt.
Production.
No, he was hurt.
Hmm.
That's why Tatar played. But even so...
But you could have still... Like, as you can tell, I had no idea because... David Perron and his line have gone in a disappearing act. You're seeing the likes of Burakovsky and Brett Connolly still making things happen. Jacob Vrana is the only one really not producing points right now in the Capitals, and he's on a second line that has TJ Oshie and Nick Backstrom doing work. And it's not that Vrana's not doing a good job, he's just not getting points. You're seeing their fourth lines on each team making things happen.
And that's, I think, what the teams can usually roll four lines. But you got to get something out of your second and third line if you're Vegas right now. Because you've been getting at least something out of the top line. You need more. But you've gotten nothing outside of a James Neal goal where he bats the puck out of the air from Dmitry Orlov. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you've gotten out of your second and third lines combined. And guess what? James Neal hit a post. Got a finish. And it was a wide open net. It wasn't like he hit a post and it was because he beat the goaltender. No. Goaltender was out of the net.
Washington's game changers have been the game changers in this finals.
Not entirely true. It's not just them. Their defense is doing, like you had said, Frank, Vegas is most dangerous on the rush.
Yeah.
And the Capitals have a defensive system employed right now where it takes that away.
Yeah.
And the more that it's pointed out, the more you actually see the flaws in Vegas' system.
But what I was also going at, too, is Washington's game changers are getting it done offensively. Kuznetsov has been fantastic. Ovechkin has been great. Backstrom and Oshie are doing work. Carlson, offensively and defensively, has been so good in this series.
Braden and then Holtby has entered the Conn Smythe conversation.
Holtby has pretty much, after game one, Holtby's been a brick wall.
By the way.
Whereas Vegas's game changers after game one have not been doing anything.
Marchessault, Carlson in particular.
Carlson especially. Riley Smith, yes, he scored, but he hadn't done much since game one. And yeah, it's really been Vegas's fourth line that's been their best. If that's continuing, they're not winning another game.
By the way, how much of a crime is it going to be if Evgeny Kuznetsov doesn't win the Conn Smythe?
I mean, if Ovechkin wins it or Holtby wins it, I wouldn't be as surprised. I mean, Holtby too, because remember, he was the backup at the start of the playoffs.
I will agree with that. If Braden Holtby ends up there, I love Alex Ovechkin. I want the man to get a Stanley Cup. And he's going, and like it looks like it's going to happen that way. But Evgeny Kuznetsov has been their best player throughout the playoffs. And it shows. You don't even need to look at the statistics on it.
Yeah.
Evgeny Kuznetsov is their difference maker. The most important one. When Ovechkin's scoring, guess whose stick it's coming from?
It's coming from Kuznetsov.
92.
Yeah.
That fourth goal, where the place could have pretty much blown up, it didn't matter if it was Carlson or Ovechkin there in that left faceoff circle. It did not matter.
No.
That pass was lined to him by Kuznetsov, and it was hammered home.
Yeah.
I was a little sad it wasn't Ovechkin in that circle.
Man,
because I'm pretty sure that everyone would have been in a frenzy that Ovi scores goal number four now in the coffin.
Yeah. Man, if it was Ovi who scored that,
the place would have gone ballistic.
Yeah.
But again, it didn't matter who was sitting there. It was a right-handed shot, and Kuznetsov wired the pass.
Yep.
Evgeny Kuznetsov has been their guy. He's actually almost caught up to Ovechkin in goals in the playoffs. Who, by the way, caught up to Mark Scheifele in goals in the playoffs. But, again, you look at it, and everything that Kuznetsov has done, everything Ovechkin has done, Kuznetsov's been right there with him. And you've got to remember, Kuznetsov scored the goal that slayed the demon.
Yep.
He is the primary assist on many of Washington's goals. He is their distributor, but he's been putting pucks in the net by himself as well. 12 goals, 19 assists.
Yep.
For 31 points. 31 points in 23 games.
He's what, the fourth guy in the modern era? Like, at least in the last, like in the salary cap era?
Yes.
To score 30 points in the playoffs?
Yes.
It's insane. Yeah, he should
be your Conn Smythe.
He's probably the favorite right now.
He should be your Conn
Smythe. Next to Holtby.
I would still say it's Kuznetsov.
I would still say
because too. Even in the games where Holtby had to fight through it and get scored on a lot, Kuznetsov was still doing work.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, oh, hey, Washington didn't do so great after game one with, after facing off with Braden McNabb and Nate Schmidt. Well, guess who had the primary assist on the Tom Wilson goal that tied the game at four? Evgeny Kuznetsov.
Yeah.
Guess who blew that narrative right up after that? Evgeny and Kuznetsov.
Yeah.
But there have been plays that have happened. The Devontae Smith Pelly goal. Kuznetsov doesn't get an assist on it, but guess where he is? Playing it right in front of that net.
Yeah.
Ovechkin got an assist because he threw the puck around the boards. Carlson found it and threw it at the net. And it hits Smith Pelly and it goes in the net.
Three of Kuznetsov's four assists in game four were primary.
Yes. He is the guy.
He's been the guy
dishing.
Yeah.
And you cannot ignore it. I think Kuznetsov needs to be the Conn Smythe winner here.
Yeah.
Obviously, don't count your chickens until they're hatched because, well, Washington still has to win another game.
They do. Do they get it done tomorrow?
No.
Vegas will take it?
Washington is good at being the road team this year in the postseason. But Vegas is too good at home overall to lose twice in one series, right? At home?
Yeah. I don't know. There's just a thing on Twitter that William Karlsson's not practicing today.
Ooh.
So we'll have to see.
Probably, I would hope, a maintenance day.
I would imagine.
But yeah, I think... Again, looking back at this, I think Evgeny Kuznetsov needs to be your Conn Smythe winner. The man has consistently, round by round, been the most important player. I'd say consistently round by round.
Mm-hmm.
Holpe has shown up to be the difference in some of these and really be the lockdown at points in each of the series. But he's had games where he struggled too. The one thing that Holpe does have going for him, though, is that Washington was dead to rights in the first round. And then he comes in, and now they're one win away from hoisting the cup.
Yeah.
That's the one way I will not argue Braden Holpe. No offense to Alex Ovechkin, but that one might seem like a favoritism or a bias if he's given the Conn Smythe over Kuznetsov and Holpe. Which I don't mind, but... If you're going to award the award, and like if people are going to complain that Alex Ovechkin doesn't get the Conn Smythe, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Well, we got to remember, too, in 2016, people were saying Phil Kessel should have won the Conn Smythe because he led the playoffs in points.
But it's not about points more so than it is just how much of a nuisance the man is right now in the postseason.
But people were saying the same thing, that Kessel should have won it in 2016 when Crosby won it. And you end up winning back-to-back.
That is more or less about people being sick of seeing Crosby doing so well.
I don't think you can go wrong. I think people will want Ovechkin to win the Conn Smythe because Ovechkin.
Yes. I think Kuznetsov...
As long as one of Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Holpe wins the Conn Smythe, assuming Washington wins the Cup, which they're primed to... I don't think you got a wrong answer.
I think if the NHL wants to do this right, they need to recognize that a star is here at the age of 26 in Evgeny Kuznetsov. Market the man. The Russian torch is being passed right now. Kuznetsov's here and he's here to stay. And he's here to party. That's what I think it is. Dude put up 83 this year.
Yeah, he did. Point a game.
77 a couple of years back.
Yeah. Got that nice big contract, too.
Yeah. Evgeny Kuznetsov needs to be marketed more. And I think this is the best way to do it. Because not only has he led the league in points in the postseason, he led Washington in points this year, and he has been the most consistently terrorizing threat for the Caps. The assist man to Ovechkin's scoring.
Yeah.
And to pretty much everyone else's.
Just like how Nick Backstrom is underappreciated, I'm thinking Kuznetsov being underappreciated right now too.
Like I said, as long as Kuznetsov, Ovechkin, and Holpe win it, I don't think you have a wrong answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's really it.
By the way, it is interesting now to see that Vegas fans are finally getting a glimpse of what it's actually like to be a sports fan. Poor guys. Like, of course, I'm not salty about them making it. I'm not salty if they win it.
I feel so bad. No,
I would just feel terrible for Washington fans if they choke this.
Oh, my God. And one of our best friends is a Caps fan, too. Yes. Die hard.
Shout out to the kid, Marcos Watkins. Yeah. It would just add to a legacy of choking and not getting it done
legacy
when it actually
of
mattered.
Failure.
And it would give Ovechkin more of that unfair label that he has worked so hard to shed because the rest of his team actually showed up.
Yeah. I don't think it happens.
I don't think it happens.
I agree. I think Vegas they're going to play with a lot of desperation.
Probably put a game in here.
They're going to play with a lot of desperation. They're going to be in front of their fans. They're going to do everything that they can to give them at least another good showing. I think they'll pull one out tomorrow night, and then I think game six is Sunday.
Yes.
I think Washington would take it in game six at home in front of their fans.
Now, Ryan Gates had asked me something, and his listeners on the nightcap. And it was a pretty good question. He wants to know what happens if the Vegas fans have the cup presented to Washington on their ice, whether it be game five, game seven. What happens? And I said something half jokingly, but very much still very serious. I had said, one guarantee is that the fans will boo Gary Bettman.
Yeah, that's a guarantee.
Is it? Because this was brought up when I said this. Is it a guarantee?
I think it is, but there's going to be a lot of mixed.
All I had to do, though, was say two words, and you didn't have it in a guarantee form anymore.
Yeah. Here's how I feel. Vegas fans are going to be like, well, you gave us this team. You set the rule. You know, you helped to set the rules and everything. So, yeah, you helped us get here. But you're going to have the true hockey fan, the year's hockey fans. Like, there's going to be a lot of Caps fans there.
Well, not to mention Vegas has made a lot out of transplants.
Those fans are going to boo Gary Bettman.
That's what I'm thinking. But it is not, because of the fact that Ryan had brought up the fact that I said that it was a guarantee, all he had to do, though, was just give me that quick little doubt saying, is it? Because all Bettman has done for them is give them a Stanley Cup Finals team. And they gave them hockey in Vegas.
Yeah.
After putting the NHL awards in Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas fans haven't had to deal with a lockout.
They might soon.
Vegas fans haven't had to deal with the derp-tastic policies. Scoring's been up this year.
Yeah.
What do they know? Your new Vegas fans might not boo Gary Bettman.
The new ones.
You're not going to get a whole arena booing this man.
Yeah.
And every year before that, whether it was given to your team or not,
it was always the whole arena booing Gary Bettman.
It was a tradition unlike any other.
Yeah.
You hear an entire arena of boos. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. The man gave you two lockouts.
Yeah.
Good Lord. If he gives him a third,
it's going to happen.
Don't say that. I want to believe that hockey is going to be okay, Frank.
Listen.
Let me believe for now.
I'll let you believe for now.
2022, right?
Yeah.
Is the expiration on the CBA?
I think it's 2020.
Right in time for Seattle.
That's been the big issue right now. I think that's why they're...
Good news, though, I don't want to talk too much into it,
but I really believe that the NHL is going to push hard for Seattle so they can avoid a lockout.
It'd be easy. All you have to do is point to the owners and the players and go, hey, salary cap just went up with Vegas showing up.
Yeah.
And their fans coming in droves.
But Seattle already put down
money on this. Like, season tickets are sold out already for Seattle. So you guys are going to get more money.
No, I am actually wrong. It is 2022.
2022.
But even still, that's still when Seattle is like a year, one year in.
Yes, a year or two possibly into their existence.
Yeah. So that's what they're going to try to avoid.
But again, the good news is that Vegas and its popularity did blast the salary cap up. More money is coming in.
Yeah,
and I don't think that Seattle would have a much bigger difference in this. It'll be just as positive. There will be just the same impact, I would think, from Seattle, because fans in Seattle, they lost the Supersonics. And the Mariners basically don't exist. And the Seahawks are kind of coming down. I think Seattle turns out in great numbers here. Not to mention, it's also near Canada. And go ahead and ask us Buffalo fans how that helps with your numbers and your sales.
Yeah.
Because it does. We thank our friendly neighbors.
You might get a lot of frustrated Canucks fans.
You might get some Canuck fans, but
frustrated ones.
But again, that's not Seattle's fault. That's Jim Benning's fault.
Yeah.
And Mike Gillis a lot more before him.
Exactly.
I think that...
What was the rumor with the cap hit going up for next season? That could be as high as, like, what, $80 million?
Yeah.
Oh, that happens.
That's pretty good.
That's really good.
Which means there's going to be some dumb contracts handed out.
A lot of dumb contracts.
Especially...
Do you want to go into it now?
I mean, there's no better way, because otherwise I'm backtracking.
It's true.
And I don't feel like doing that again. The Isles cleaned house.
About time.
Yes, I know, right? It was only 7 years too late to get Garth Snow out of there. But Garth Snow was fired. Doug Waite was fired.
I'm a little surprised that Doug Waite was fired, because he did... I think he's a good coach, but...
He's dealing with a trash roster.
Yeah, but...
Lou Lamoriello.
Both guys are still going to be in the organization. Because they're both still under contract. I don't know. I don't know what Garth Snow is going to do. They might... They might give him a position that makes it look like it's a promotion.
I wish this wasn't just a podcast, just to see the dumbfounded look on my face right now.
They might, because Lamoriello's now... But Lamoriello's taken over as GM.
How do you... Hang on. Before we move on with this.
Okay.
Lots of questions answered. Damn
okay.
it.
Okay.
They're going to stay with the organization.
Yes.
After they've been fired from their jobs.
Yes.
What in the world could they possibly do after getting fired from their jobs? Garth Snow, that's a pretty easy one. You can fire by promotion, blah, 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 like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
A coach might want to just coach again.
I don't know. I don't know
with Doug Waite. So I doubt Doug Waite will stay with the organization.
They're probably going to give him a front office position if he doesn't land another coaching gig.
What if he doesn't want one? What if he wants to coach?
But what if he doesn't get one? What if he doesn't get a coaching gig?
Minor leagues. There's plenty of ways to get a coaching gig. There's plenty of ways. Ron Ralston got coaching gigs.
I know.
Doug Waite will get one. He'll land on his feet or his skates. Okay? Ron Ralston.
I would imagine.
Ron Ralston land on his freaking feet.
I would imagine, but until then.
I doubt Doug Waite will stay with the team.
Until then, I would say this. Until that happens, he's going to stay with the team.
I doubt that will happen.
But here's the thing. I agree with you. I think he will get a coaching gig somewhere.
Can you also agree with me on how dumb this sounds?
Of course.
Thank you. That's all I want.
Okay. I also think it's not going to happen right away. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen today. It's probably going to happen sometime over the summer. So why not just stay with the team that you are still under contract with and get paid until then? I mean, why not? if they said, hey, we're gonna fire you from coaching, but we're gonna keep you on until and then let you find a coaching gig somewhere else, and until then you can stay with us and we'll still pay you. It's like, sure. Whatever. So now the question, two questions now. One, who's gonna be the next head coach of the Islanders? And two, how does this affect Tavares?
Now, before that, obviously, one of the big things that you got to look at with the front office and the Islanders is no doubt after the NHL draft that Mark Hunter is going to be hired underneath Lou Lamoriello.
Yeah, I would imagine Hunter gets hired sometime over the summer as assistant GM.
Yeah, Mark Hunter will no doubt, because Hunter mutually agreed to terminate his contract with Toronto after he was not given the general manager job. It was given to Kyle Dubas.
Which was the right move.
Which was the right move, I think, too, but... point notwithstanding, Lamoriello likes Hunter.
Yeah.
He probably wants him under his wing.
Hunter can't actually join another team until like mid-July.
Yes. And that's,
so once mid-July
the beginning
hits,
of NHL free agency and after the NHL
draft. It's like
draft
July 15th, I think, yeah, is when he's free to go.
Because Toronto knew that where Lamoriello goes, Hunter's probably going to go too. And therefore, there's free agent destinations and anything connections that he has. If he
Plus
has
also
anything
Hunter's
like
a
that,
really good scout.
Yeah, but again, it's anything more or less along the fact of they mutually agreed to part ways because Hunter probably wanted to have more say in command and everything like that.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And Toronto's like, okay, we'll give you that opportunity. It just you just got to not screw us over first.
And yeah, it's just cool. Not going to be right away.
Cool. All right, fair. Whatever.
Yeah.
So now, what does this mean for John Tavares? There was the report from Greg Brady from Sportsnet, 590 in Toronto.
Yeah.
That Doug Weight being fired means the end of John Tavares as an Islander.
Yeah, because I remember reading something that he would only stay if Weight stayed on as a head coach. But I don't really take much into that, because you can convince players otherwise, especially if you hire a really good coach as a replacement. Guess who's available right now?
The guy who's in the Stanley Cup Finals, Barry Trotz?
Well, that potentially, yes. I mean, yeah, surprisingly enough, the coach who's likely to win the Stanley Cup could be somewhere else next year. That's a possibility. Alain Vigneault?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He wouldn't have to move.
Yeah, that's true.
I could totally see the Islanders making a pitch for him. Dave Tippett's, I don't know where he is right now. I could look that up. He's another guy. He's another good coach.
And then there are other assistants that you can look at as well.
Yeah, like there's Sheldon Keefe in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. And Lamoriello and Hunter coming from Toronto.
Yeah.
Connections. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, a lot of connections.
So... but I'm thinking one thing and one thing only right now, Frank.
What's that?
Make it happen. Let Johnny T hit the free agency.
Oh, God, if that really does happen. Oh,
first off,
God.
We were talking about this with Stamkos a couple years back.
Oh,
everyone was.
Yeah.
That hype comes back.
It's coming back, and it's revving up. It's revving up because... a lot of people see the Islanders going
nowhere. So what do you think? John Tavares gets 12-5? 7 years per? Probably, right?
I don't know what he'll get.
He'd probably get 12-5 a year.
I know he's gonna get somewhere. He could get more. I think that's the max right now.
Isn't it?
I think the max is like 13. We'll look that up.
Well, let's figure this out real quick, because, again, I'm thinking to myself here, the simple basic math on this, the quick math on this would be, he gets 12-5 for 7 years per. And John Tavares, oh, man. That's a big increase from his last cap hit.
Well, yeah. He's going to get a big increase regardless.
Which it was $5.5 million per season since 2012. Now, my biggest thing is,
who can afford that? Even if I'm just a couple of numbers off on that kind of a salary structure, that's still a lot of cheese. $87.5 million on a projected contract total. And again, an average annual value of 12.5. Who can afford that right now?
Vegas.
There's a lot bigger of a list than you would think. Particularly, it starts with the Islanders, who have $28 million available, projected.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams. I mean,
but
there's a lot of teams.
Now let's look at potential suitors. Toronto comes in at 22.3.
Of course they do. Yeah, no, Toronto's always been a big one.
Buffalo comes in at
19.1. Sabres are, yes. The Islanders, we know the Islanders can. Carolina can.
Vegas can. Here are other contenders that could.
New Jersey.
Colorado, 22.8.
Don't see that happening.
New Jersey, 19.8.
Potentially.
Dallas.
Don't see it.
17.6.
Don't see it. They got to re-sign Sagan.
Ooh.
Next year.
But other than that, it's a lot of younger teams trying to rebuild. You see Carolina. You see New York. The Rangers may be in on Kovalchuk, which would fetch a pretty penny.
Yeah.
And it would also mean, well, they're not rebuilding anymore, which I don't know if they're going to. Like, they seem to have a direction that they want to go in.
They're kind of like not rebuilding, but they.
And the other major and the other teams with major cap space, Arizona and Vancouver. And you know that's not happening.
That's not happening.
San Jose was rumored to be one of those places. But after signing Evander Kane to a big deal, 7 for 7, right? 7 for 7?
Yeah.
They're at 7.5 projected million per year. That is not going to get it done.
No.
And I don't think they have many contracts that you can really move for the sake of getting John Tavares.
The only one I could see would be Paul Martin.
And who's going to take that albatross? And
it's
only 1 year for 4.8.
It's 1 year, yeah. So you
which
might,
means
you if, might be able to. Maybe even, they. I don't know. Even then, I don't see it happening.
Even then, I don't think they make it to 12.5.
I don't
4.8, almost 5 million. So you'd be able to just get to 12.5 if someone gets there. You'd have to pay something pretty dear to make that happen.
Yeah. Plus they got to re-sign Thomas Hertl and Chris Tierney and Dylan DeMello.
Oh, and by the way, Paul Martin has a modified no trade clause.
Yeah.
So you might as well kiss the Sharks goodbye.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Like I said, there were whispers about that earlier, but now I don't think that's going to happen. You also need that. Like, they also need to probably sign Couture and Pavelski to some bridge deals.
Couture is not going to do it. Both those guys aren't going to do it because they're both free agents next year.
Well, I'm saying like they probably would like to sign them to nice little bridge deals.
Yeah.
You know, like the next couple of years. They're not going to get that mega deal because those guys are not John Tavares. But they'll get something. You need to also re-sign RFA Thomas Hertl. So the Lightning are out. Washington's out. Boston's out. Thank God. Pittsburgh, Chicago. Yeah, right. LA has $4 million
in
cap space.
Pretty much when we're looking at projected cap space, which we're on cap friendly right now, any team that is below, we'll say, that has less than $18 million, I would say, are out.
So that would even take me if the Dallas Stars and the Flyers would also
yes,
be out of it.
Yes, because you got to also take into effect that they got other players that they got to re-sign.
Yeah, everyone's got players they have to re-sign.
Yeah.
Buffalo may be on the fringe here.
Yeah, that would put Buffalo on the fringe, but there's also been the rumors of Ryan O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm. So that leads me to this, Frank. Let's go by these teams and let's figure out what would make the most sense, A, for John Tavares, and B, for the Sabres to hunt down if they don't get John Tavares. Carolina has been a team awfully connected to Buffalo with Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah.
First off, what a play it would be if they signed John Tavares and then they could trade Ryan O'Reilly.
So Sabres sign John Tavares and trade O'Reilly to Carolina?
To anywhere.
Okay.
Anywhere that wants a number two center.
Yeah.
Or think about that.
Or potential. Or,
because we
well, if he goes to Carolina, he's the number one.
Because we have to rule out certain teams because the albatross of a contract that will be John Tavares. Certain teams get ruled out of this.
Yeah.
Ryan O'Reilly at $7 million is a little more feasible for about half the league.
More than half the league.
To be added to the list.
Yeah. I've been thinking about O'Reilly to Carolina for a while, and while I still don't want to trade O'Reilly, if it means getting Tavares, absolutely I would do it.
Let's say it doesn't.
Okay.
And Carolina's one of the teams that's been spurned by John Tavares. Because just like the Islanders, Carolina can throw that max deal down.
Yep.
The only difference is that the Islanders can give one more year.
Yeah, that's
and
the big
Garth Snow is not here to throw funny money around anymore. We'll get more on Garth Snow later in a nice little in memoriam to one of the worst general managers to have ever set foot in hockey. But you look at the Avalanche, ironic. They obviously would not trade for Ryan O'Reilly. But the Avs could be players in this. The Leafs, you're not trading Ryan O'Reilly to the freaking Leafs.
No. No. Plus, so they got to re-sign William Nylander, and they got to prepare to re-sign Matthews and Marner next year.
Yes.
And there's those two no are, way.
Nylander may be a bit
there's
more
no
feasible.
Way, there's no way that they would even get Tavares, too.
They might just do it and then ditch Nylander and or Marner.
They'd be dumb to do that, honestly.
Well, let's see what Kyle Dubas thinks.
Yeah, yeah.
All of this obviously contingent on if John Tavares actually hits free agency. If he doesn't, that makes Ryan O'Reilly more valuable.
It does, which I really think is going to happen.
So let's talk about this real quick.
Okay.
Now let's bring this Ryan O'Reilly thing up to a head.
Sure, sure.
Bob McKenzie, Darren Dreger, a lot of these hockey insiders are saying Jason Botchul is going to hold on to Ryan O'Reilly unless he gets the doors blown off.
Yeah.
Or he gets a deal like the Mike Richards trade.
That was because that's been reported as what he wants.
If a team comes and plays ball, I'm not just listening. I'm taking.
I'm not just no, I want to listen first because it depends on the players.
It does. Now let's start with Carolina, a team very well connected to the
Sabres. Which is a team that I have really been trying to look at as to what could you get out of Carolina, especially if O'Reilly's value does go up based on a lack of Tavares in free agency. If I'm Botro, I am asking not only you could get Jeff Skinner, absolutely. I'm also asking for Victor Rask.
Okay. $4 million per year until 2022.
It's not even
25 years old.
He's young. He can score points. He's a number two center right now. And his advanced stats are pretty good, too. There's a lot of positives in his advanced statistics.
Here's your thing. Skinner has a no movement.
That's true.
And the other two things you have to look at are who are the players that Carolina, like, what is Carolina not giving up is your first question. Sebastian Aho.
Yeah.
Probably Tuivo Teravainen.
Yeah. They're not trading those two.
And probably the number three overall pick.
Number two pick.
That's right. Excuse me.
Okay. There's a lot of untouchables in Carolina right now.
Those are your three probably big untouchables.
Well,
you know one that I'm actually still eyeing up here a lot?
Who?
Justin Falk.
Yeah. My biggest problem with that is with Dahlin coming in. They don't need as much defense as what is still being said because you still got, unless you're trading Ristolainen.
Ready? This is where it gets interesting. Okay. Edmonton has been reported as wanting to swing for the fences
for Ristolainen.
For a defenseman. Peter Chiarelli asked for Rasmus Ristolainen for Taylor Hall. So remember that he's on the radar. If that man was willing to give up Taylor Hall already for Rasmus Ristolainen, what can you get from Edmonton for Risto if you can get O'Reilly to Carolina, Justin Falk, and then you could trade Ristolainen? By the way, Justin Falk, you think he's been around forever, right?
No, he's only 26.
26.
Yeah, he's got 2 years left on his deal.
And at a pretty feasible cap hit as well.
Oh, very, very good. Very good.
It's a very team-friendly cap hit. It's at $4.8 million per season for the next 2 years.
Yep.
Rasmus Ristolainen, he's at $5.4 million until 2022.
Yep. Not that I don't mind paying Rasmus Ristolainen. I think of him higher than some people do, particularly the analytics crowd.
Yep.
However, at this point, if the shoe fits, ... is what I would say necessarily, not just about Ristolainen, but about Ryan O'Reilly. If the Sabres want more speed, they're going to need to get someone else. Yes, Ryan O'Reilly is a
with the talks about Edmonton,
it throws an interesting wrinkle into this.
It does, because it seems like that Chiarelli would be more likely going to trade Klefbom.
And here's what I think is going to happen here. I don't know if my combination would work, which would be trading Ristolainen to Edmonton for Nugent Hopkins, carrying a $6 million cap hit, by the way, over three seasons.
Yeah.
And then trading Ryan O'Reilly for Justin Falk. Players and pieces, obviously other players and pieces to be determined. But Bob McKenzie said one of the biggest rumors that was floating around Edmonton was Oscar Klefbom.
Yes.
And number 10.
Yes.
For Rasmus.
Yes.
That is value beyond comprehensible doubt.
Yes.
And honestly, you pull the trigger on that. Klefbom, 24. Ristolainen, 23. Is Klefbom a inferior defenseman? Yes. Does he walk?
I've actually looked at the advanced numbers. I mean, yes, they're not great on Ristolainen, but Klefbom's, even on a terrible Edmonton team, is still really good.
And this is where I'm saying, like, even if he's only just a little bit of an inferior defenseman, which I would still
answer that question, the only difference between the two is Ristolainen gets points.
Yes, he scores. He gets to helping out,
which I think primarily is on the power play.
Yes.
If you could trade Ristolainen for Klefbom and 10, do it. If that's the case,
just like Ryan O'Reilly.
But if that's the case, and you're also trading O'Reilly and to Carolina,
it can't be for Justin
Falk. You got it.
Skinner and Rask possibly.
You need at least Rask at the very least.
Yes.
Because you got to get a center back.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trading Ristolainen for Ryan Nugent Hopkins, you could go get Justin Falk. Go right ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't be. You can't trade O'Reilly for Justin Falk and then Ristolainen for Oscar Klefbom.
So then that brings me to Vancouver. Vancouver's another team
that's interesting, and I was looking at them as
rumored
well.
Rumored with Ryan O'Reilly, and Montreal is one that has been very commonly linked.
Yeah.
So that brings me to, what do you get if you're looking? Say you got that Mike Richards aim for Montreal. My Wayne Simmonds player might be Alex Galchenyuk, who Montreal clearly wants to ship out the door. What's your Braden Schenn? The former number 5 draft pick overall. Is it Victor Mete? Or is that too valuable?
I think who you would go for would be...
Ready?
Then let me Ryan just, Poehling.
All right, so...
Who is their first round pick... last season, in 2017.
So that brings me to this. If it's him and Alex Galchenyuk for Ryan O'Reilly, and you also get a second-round pick in there, do you do it? I say yes.
But you're banking that Galchenyuk can be your second-line center. I was also looking at his advanced stats, too. Not great,
but at the same time.
But at the same time, he was also not given a chance.
He was also put on the fourth line.
Exactly. He wasn't given a chance. So you're banking that would improve.
I would bank on his speed being a factor.
Yeah, I would too.
And he would be facing a little bit lesser of competition on a weekly basis.
I would too.
So I think that's the biggest thing. I think, and again, I'm bringing up Ryan O'Reilly being traded, not because I want to trade him, but because I think that's the feeling around.
That seems to be the feeling. It does seem to be the feeling. Vancouver, by the way, I think is very interesting.
Now, you're going to have to sell me on Vancouver because I'm not there.
Bo Horvat.
Okay. That's a center, young center.
Young center, good contract.
Would you do it straight up?
No. You got to get more. You could get a prospect as well. And
would you do it Bo Horvat and a second rounder that could be a conditional first?
That would have to be a conditional first in 2019. Because,
I would take, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
I would try to go, if you can do Bo Horvat and...
Like I said, this is where I would need your help. Question.
Before we go on. Okay.
Top prospects on their team, probably Elias Peterson.
Peterson.
Thatcher Demko.
Thatcher Demko. Yul Levy is a possibility. Jonathan Dahlin. Brock Besser, obviously.
Brock Besser's probably untouchable.
Yeah, and Adam Gaudette.
I would think that those latter two are untouchable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All six of them are definitely untouchables. Well, Horvat, you can do. A guy that I'm thinking...
Horvat, by the way, 23 years old.
Still got 5 years left on his contract.
5 years on a contract.
That's five and a half. Yeah. Brendan Leipzig.
Is he worth really...
No, maybe you do that. You do that, and then you get like a third round pick or a fourth.
I would rather try to fight for a conditional first. I don't know.
I don't know if Brendan Leipzig
is worth pounding my fist at the table for. How's that? Is it a settled down, maybe? Yes. It'd be a settle option. But the man was exposed for the Vegas... No, not exposed, but he was exposed for the Vegas draft by Toronto.
But that was also because Toronto had a lot of other players. They had to give someone up.
And then he was traded by Vegas. If Vegas wanted to try to keep themselves in a younger core to try to move forward... That would have been your best bet. He wasn't even necessarily traded for something even useful for Vegas in the stretch.
Phillip Holm's actually not bad.
But still, he wasn't like in the stretch run for Vegas. He was not.
Yeah, it's depth. He's depth.
That's what I'm saying. I don't like. That's probably a subtle piece.
Need depth.
I know, but it's probably a subtle piece.
You can try to get a conditional second that could be a first. Vancouver, I don't think, is a team that will do it. I don't think they can do it. They need their top picks. If you can get a guy like Leipzig, get a mid round pick, that's more likely.
Here's why I'm fighting it though. Because I mean, no offense, but if I'm Buffalo, Bo Horvat as your main piece is not selling me as hard as other teams. If I've got other teams in conversations about Ryan O'Reilly, which I would suspect that they would, Vancouver's got the least enticing option for me. Oh, yeah, and by the way, it's Jim Benning.
Maybe you can get Ole Yul Levy then.
You better bet I'm trying to finagle for something better.
What about Nikolai Goldobin?
No.
You want to?
I'm not sold on that either. I usually get concerned when prospects are moved around several teams.
You can't really say that. I know, but how often
do you see that? Like, if it's not just being traded to one team, it's being traded by several teams. That's where I get a little concerned about prospects. And yeah, that may be a shallow-minded take, but that's just what I think it seems like to me.
I don't know. I like Leipzig as a prospect.
I think if he was important enough, two teams would have tried to find a way to keep him.
I guess Toronto just wasn't able to.
I know, but if he is,
which by the way,
dude, there were side deals. Don't tell me that they couldn't keep him.
There was no side deal between Toronto and Vegas.
There were side deals everywhere. There's no way you can say that they couldn't have tried to.
What was Toronto's protection list? Like, of all the guys that they could protect or expose? Because it was pretty easy for them. Because they didn't have to worry about Matthews, Marner, and Nylander.
Exactly. They kind of had a little bit easier of a time. They left Leipzig there, and
they had to protect JVR, Kadri, Bozak, Komarov. Riley Gardner. Who was the third? I think it was Connor Carrick. And obviously Anderson.
All right, here we go. Toronto. Missing Anderson, like, Riley, Gardner, Carrick.
Okay. Yep.
Bozak, Brown, Kadri, Van Riemsdyk.
Makes sense.
Komarov.
Makes sense.
Levo. Matt Martin.
Okay, Matt Martin's the one. Matt Martin's the one you can think of, well, but at the same time, Martin still had a role on that team.
Martin also had an albatross contract for a guy who throws fists.
Yeah.
And made one good behind-the-back pass in the playoffs.
Toronto also really... also.
No, wait. That was Brian Boyle. So it wasn't even Matt Martin. So go ahead and explain to me how if Toronto thought that he was worth something, that Matt Martin is more important.
And if Martin that's the case, was on the team.
Then if that's the case, I'm glad Lamoriello is on the Islanders. Go ruin that ship. So that Tavares can hit free agency and we can have the most coveted free agent since Brad Richards.
Yeah. Hey, well, let's do it. I mean, 16-17, Leipzig had 50 was a point-a-game player in the AHL. 51 points, 49 games. He had 54 points in 65 games the season before.
I'm not laughing at that.
What are you laughing at?
SB Nation NFL.
Did they write an article about Gates?
Josh Allen has already cost one person in Buffalo a job.
Yes! Love it. Love it.
Uh-oh. Here it is. Ryan Gates about to be famous.
Oh, he's famous, all right.
The subline is, stop making NFL draft guarantees.
I love it. I mean, okay, Leipzig didn't do much for Vegas. Played 44 games, had only 13 points. For Vancouver, he had 9 points in 14 games, and he's got a lot of potential to be one of those bottom six role-playing players. And you need a lot, you need as much depth on the team as possible. So why would you trade O'Reilly and get one player that's going to help you out now when instead you can get two players, one that's going to help you out now and one that's going to that can provide depth for your team, which is something that we, as we have talked about, has been lacking forever because Scott Wilson was playing a top 6 minutes.
All right, anyway, we're a little off the base here. What you can get for Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, like, I would rather, I mean, if you want to go with, you know, who I'd rather trade him to, personally, I mean, I think Carolina would be the better option because if you can get two players, you know,
I'd rather not trade him to Montreal.
No, because.
But Montreal also has probably the most beneficial package.
They've got a player that can provide, that has the most upside.
Ready?
In Alex Galchenyuk.
I want to break it down this way. Mike Richards' return, okay? I want my Wayne Simmons. I want my Braden Schenk.
And it was also a second-round pick.
I don't even care about that. You can downgrade that to a fourth if it gets me Galchenyuk and Mete. I'd even give you a second.
No, you're not doing that. Montreal's already got 4 seconds. You're not giving them another.
But I'm just saying, I'd do it.
I wouldn't do it. I would.
Fine, how's this? I'd give up a pick if it meant...
No.
Galchenyuk and Mete. How's that? That's a great return.
It's a great return. Now, is Montreal willing to do that? Is Montreal going to do it?
I don't know. Carolina. We have recognized the roster player, the Wayne Simmons. What's the Braden Schenk here? And that's where it gets tricky. And that's where I kind of get a little spooked on Carolina. And that's why I try to swing for the fences for Justin Falk and try to flip Rasmus Ristolainen for a forward. For a center, excuse me. Or hope that they sign Tavares.
Yeah. All this just kind of tells me that if the Sabres are going to make these kind of trades, it's going to be either at the draft or after free agency.
Edmonton might be an interesting one here.
Well, yeah.
You could ask for the roster player, Nugent Hopkins, which is a pretty big contract, and if they want some cap relief, they can get it. Your prospect... Puljujarvi?
I don't think they're going to... They want to give him up.
They're going to have to do that at some point. Maybe even Yamamoto.
No, they don't want to trade him either. They expect him to make the team next year.
That's a good point. He almost made it this year.
He did. He did make the team, right. But he played his nine games.
Played his nine games, yeah, that's right.
I don't see Edmonton wanting to trade any prospects. The closest I think you would say would probably be...
Pick 10.
Well, I'm talking about players on the roster right now,
yeah,
who are young. The closest I think that they would move is Matthew Benning.
So
Jim thinking. Benning's, I think that's his nephew.
Either way, that kind of, either way, funny. I'm not because of Jim Benning, but.
No, I know, I'm just saying.
But no, I think that's, you know.
That's why I think it's more likely that Edmonton is either going to trade Oscar Klefbom or Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and it seems more likely that it's going to be Klefbom.
Mm-hmm.
That's we have a friend who writes for the Oilers.
Yes.
And that's what he's told me.
Yes.
He said it's more likely it's Klefbom is the one that's going to get traded.
Right. So then that would mean the Sabres would be more in the market there with Rasmus Ristolainen, not with Ryan O'Reilly.
Yes. And if you're trading O'Reilly, you're getting forwards.
And that's a different trade conversation. If it's Ryan O'Reilly, I'm not necessarily trading for forwards. I'm trading for my Mike Richards package. The Braden Schenn could be a prospect that could be cracking the NHL roster soon.
Yeah.
That's what Braden Schenn was.
Yep.
It could be a forward. It could be a defenseman. But the big thing is, it's a prospect that's cracking the NHL roster soon.
You
know how highly coveted that is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's why I'm asking about these names of a Puljujärvi or a Yamamoto. Because that was what Braden Schenn was. That was what he meant to the Kings organization.
Yeah.
Ryan O'Reilly, like I said, I'm not talking about trading him for the sake of let's trade him. I'm not talking about trading him based on the comments that he said.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm looking at this because of the fact that it is being widely discussed. And the only way Botchrule is going to trade him is if he gets the doors blown off.
Yeah.
And guess what that kind of prospect is? Those kinds of guys that I'm naming.
That's fair.
So maybe if it's Yamamoto, it's not Nugent Hopkins you're getting back in the deal, but it's someone that can play center for you.
That's fair.
Maybe it's underachiever Ryan Strome.
No. God, no.
I said maybe, okay? But then you're getting a high-end prospect. Wayne Simmonds was seen as a third-line winger at the time of trade, correct?
Yeah, he was also really young.
He was young, but they were seeing that there was a bottom out of possibly like third-line winger that could put some points up for you.
Yeah, there was hopes for him.
Yes, but like, you know, he's a top six forward. He's a very consistent top six forward, but he wasn't seen as that at time of trade. He was seen as a guy who could crack your top six, but be more of your top nine forward.
Yeah.
Again, the main piece I'm looking for here is, what else am I getting here? Your roster player's got to be nice and is going to fit in the Sabres top six. My big piece is my Braden Schenn. Where's my Braden Schenn? Who's my Braden Schenn? That's what I'm looking for. I'm taking this year with a grain of salt. Mostly because the team literally cannot perform worse than it did.
It's true.
It finished 31st. And they're getting Rasmus Dahlin.
Yep.
What is my Braden Schenn? Give it to me.
That's what we got to figure out. And if that's the case... That's
where I think Montreal makes the most sense. You have players like that are highly regarded, and you have an Alex Galchenyuk, which they're probably going to sell for a bag of fries. You can get Montreal good here. And of all the teams that we talked about, Carolina, Vancouver, Edmonton, Montreal... Montreal has got the apple of my eye right now.
I'm trying to look to see...
Give me my Braden Schenn.
I'm trying to look to see who they have.
I'm asking for Galchenyuk and Mede. You've got a center that could play your top six and then give way to Casey Mittelstadt. And then you get a nice defensive prospect on a team that, well, quite frankly, could use a little bit more of that. Because you have Brendan Gulley, Will Borgen, and not much else.
What about Nikita Sherbak? We're sticking with Montreal.
Yes.
Is that a Mete?
I would take it.
Hmm. Sherbak, I remember, I forgot he's with them.
Sherbak is on the third year of his entry-level deal, 22 years old.
Yeah.
But in terms of production, he has 7 points in the NHL in 29 games. I might want a little more.
He was a point-of-game player in the AHL.
Especially if they don't value Alex Galchenyuk as highly as other people in the league do. If the Sabres can recognize that they're trying to push Galchenyuk out the door, you can get more. I think, Frank, we need to do a special podcast on this thing because we've run quite a bit of time here.
Yeah. When it gets closer to the draft and even post-draft, I think that's when we can start really hammering this because the rumors are going to go wild.
Speaking of the draft, we're going to do our best here to start getting some guests back on.
Let's do that.
Because, yes, we all know who's going number one to Buffalo. But what the hell else is there to look for?
For the Sabres, yes.
So,
because we got other rounds.
We've got other rounds. There's seven of them. And the Sabres have picks.
Sabres have seven picks.
Yeah, the Sabres have some picks. So I think that you need to go ahead. They don't have a round three pick. That's it.
Yeah, they have two forts.
So it'll be interesting to see. I'm excited to take a look at this and figure out what they're going to be doing. So I think we've got a chance to really make things happen here.
Yeah.
That third rounder, by the way, was part of the Ennis Foligno trade.
Yep.
They swapped a third and a fourth round pick with Minnesota. They got back Scandella and Pominville. Yeah. I would say it's still a very fair trade, and I would do it again every day of the week.
Sabres won that trade. They 100% won that trade.
Yes.
But Minnesota gave Foligno a 4-year contract.
I mean, I guess that means they feel like they've got something out of that deal.
They barely played him.
I know. Wait, did they do that and then they barely played him?
Right? Yeah, because Foligno was an RFA last summer.
That's right. Ouch. All right, so we'll take a look into that. We'll probably snag Brayton Wilson for one of these days to start looking at draft prospects outside of the first round.
Oh, well, okay. He played 77 games.
All right. But you're derailing my point, Frank. We're going to try to get some guests on, talk about some NHL draft prospects because of the fact that, I mean, Frank, you may know some things, but I don't think you know what Brayton knows.
No.
So we'll get that.
I know my
cup of
I usually know
draft
my stuff.
Knowledge.
Yeah, I usually know my stuff through Brayton because
exactly
there are times when we're hanging out here or somewhere else, and I will ask him about other prospects.
Yes. So I may even try to get in touch with Chris Baker if he's not already being bothered by everyone at the station. So we'll see what we can do there as well. Get some more in on the NHL draft. And, of course, we have to talk more about Ryan O'Reilly, John Tavares, what the impacts are for both of them. If Lamoriello gets his work done and signs Tavares, does that mean that you can get more for Ryan O'Reilly, or is it that you would actually be able to land the Mike Richards package?
Let me ask you something right before we end. Let's go on the record right now. What do you think happens with Tavares? Does he go to free agency? Or does he resign?
He hits free agency.
I think he resigns.
I genuinely think he's hitting free agency.
I think he resigns.
There is more of a sense of dread here than there was with Steve Stamkos.
No, there was a lot of dread with Steven Stamkos.
I know, but there was at least... Here's my other thing. Tampa just made it... Tampa is a team that had made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, the Stanley Cup with him. So he knew what this team was capable of doing with him there.
They even saw the team succeed without him in the playoffs on that on one of their runs deep into the playoffs.
Despite all of that, even with
John
him
Tavares,
hurt, despite all that, even with him hurt, there was still the stuff with Jonathan Drouin that he still wanted out. There was a lot of, there was still even some uncertainty of where this team was going because of because they knew about Kucherov needed a new contract for a year, so now it's still true. But all the talk at even 2 years ago was that Stamkos is going to hit free agency. Like there was still all that talk because they couldn't get a deal done until that very last minute. That was more of what it was. It was because they couldn't get a deal done until that very last minute that he's going to hit free agency.
I think that,
and then the last minute hit, and then he resigned.
I think there was more of a sense of that because there was a realistic chance that Buffalo is going to try to really swing big on him,
and Toronto too.
The biggest thing I'm not hearing that as much right now. Maybe it's because of Stamkos and how he managed to sign last minute, but it's the calm before the storm, Frank, that makes me think that John Tavares is leaving.
Greg Roshinsky made a really good point, and I think he was on with Chopin Bulldog.
It was with Chopin Bulldog. I do remember this.
Yes.
When he said, sometimes people don't want to leave their stuff. My biggest thing is this.
Because you got to take into account family.
Yes.
Your kids.
I do agree with that. However, I just get this bigger sense that Tavares is leaving because it's not just the fact that Stamkos had more success in Tampa. You want to talk about direction? What are the Islanders? You just sacked your head coach and your general manager just in time for John Tavares to hit free agency. Oh, you don't know what arena you're playing in a couple of years.
No, you do.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're moving
back. They got a new
back.
Arena. Yeah, they got a new arena.
But it just, the arena thing's been a mess. Charles Wang is a ridiculous owner. And I think
Lamorello's your GM now.
But again, the fact that he had to play in the Barclays Center.
I think if there's any GM that can convince Tavares to re-sign despite all of this, it's Lamorello.
And that is the only thing that I think, that is the only thing that I think can help in Tavares staying on the island. Nothing else to me seems relevant. Nothing else to me points to Tavares staying in New York.
That's fair.
Strangely enough, Garth Snow getting fired may have been the best thing that happened to NHL free agency.
And that was long overdue. Come on.
Well, I'm talking about the timing now.
It's still long overdue.
It was long overdue. And you're right. But that might have actually, because of the fact that he wasn't alone in this firing, that and the timing makes me think, hey, maybe the Isles decide to move on with Matthew Barzal. Teams are dumb enough to do these things.
Lamorello will not.
Lamorello might not.
No.
And that is why that is the only thing I think is going for Islanders fans.
Yeah.
Speaking of Garth Snow, time to do our nice little in memoriam of Garth Snow's greatest hits. Frank, I've got two really good ones, and I know you probably got plenty more as well. So we're going to just list two of our favorite Garth Snow derp-a-derp memories as general manager of the New York Islanders. I'll let you start.
Let's see.
Because there's obviously the big one, the elephant in the room with the New York Islanders.
One that I just laugh at all the time is the Cal Clutterbuck trade.
I'm surprised you started there.
Well, I don't want to start
Cal Clutterbuck for Nino Niederreiter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty silly.
That was a bad trade.
I will remember you.
Okay, all right.
Of course, for me, I'm not going to go to the doozy either. Not yet.
Yeah.
However, there is another one that I loved, and that was Thomas Vanek's tenure as a New York Islander. Garth Snow gave up a first rounder that almost ended up in them landing. what would that have been? They could have possibly gotten to Leon Draisaitl, right?
Or they would have ended up. Ended up being the fourth pick.
Yes.
That the Islanders decided to keep.
Yes. So they would have had a chance at
not just Sam Reinhardt. They also would have had a chance at, or was that the Eichel year?
No, it was the Reinhardt year.
Okay, it was the Reinhardt year. So they would have had a chance at Draisaitl and Reinhardt on the same team.
Potentially, but remember,
could have been different. But still, but that pick, it was a conditional pick, and New York sucked the next year.
They sucked that year.
They sucked that year, and they had to trade Thomas
Vanek.
What happened, though, is they trade Thomas Vanek, obviously.
They got significantly less.
They got ripped off by, well, they didn't get ripped off by Buffalo, but they paid a price for Thomas Vanek, a first rounder that was conditional that they ended up bumping back a
second rounder, and Matt Molson.
And Matt Molson, who was still decent at the time.
Yeah.
Before Tim Murray decided to spend bunches of money on him. As a matter of fact, Tim Murray got more for Matt Molson that year
than Garth Snow got for Vanek.
Than Garth Snow got for Vanek, which I do believe was only a conditional second rounder.
It was that in a 24-year-old prospect.
And it was, oh my God. So
such a bad trade.
Yeah, the Thomas Vanek scenario in the Garth Snow tenure was probably fantastic. All right, should we do it? Should we go over this, or should we do the other one first? Because I've got one more before the big one.
Go with the one more.
Andrew Ladd. Ha! They let go of Kyle Okposo, who, yes, he was going to get paid in free agency, but guess what? That doesn't matter when you sign an older player that's got more of an injury history to the same money.
It was a little bit less.
It was a little bit less, but it was pretty much the same money. Frank, we are talking about only thousands of dollars off per year.
Yeah.
That's embarrassingly bad. If you were going to get the same kind of player, why didn't you just retain Kyle Okposo?
Yeah.
I mean, thanks. We'll take him. He hasn't been awful. And, you know, he was an unfortunate health scare from having a productive season again this year. So, why not? Okay, we'll take it. Whatever. Thanks. But yeah. It was one of those things where you just saw that, and I'm just like, I can't. Why would you do this? And then Boston signed David Backes to Kyle Okposo's money, and Milan Lucic got just as much, and I'm like, okay, never mind. You guys are all stupid. Got it. But the Thomas Vanek one's easily my favorite, and then because it helped Buffalo a little bit with some form of a package together. But again, I just loved every bit of all of that. It was hilariously refreshing.
Yeah.
Of course, we would not be able to talk about Garth Snow, though, unless we talked about
Rick DiPietro.
Oh, my God. Dude. 15 years, $67.5 million, signed on September 12th of 2006. Frank,
yeah.
I was still in high school when Rick DiPietro signed that deal for 15 years, and it's still going strong.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, there's still, hang on, oh my goodness, the contract is still going strong.
Yep.
Let alone the buyout. We'll get to that in a moment.
Yep.
Rick DiPietro, if he still had this contract for $4.5 million cap hit per season, by the way, would still be going until 2021 if he was still a member of the NHL.
Yep.
Wow. Granted, $4.5 million per year is a rather decent structured salary for a goaltender, but Rick DiPietro is also very much 36 years old.
Yeah.
And if you had a goalie for that long, well, that'd be great, but he was responsible for 10% of the cap hit at the time of signing.
Yeah.
Per season.
Yeah.
At the time of signing, 10%.
Yeah.
And then
the buyout
on June 3rd in 2013, which, by the way, is literally halfway through the contract.
Yep.
He is bought out.
Yep.
Injury history and inconsistency rang strong for Rick DiPietro. And in that final season when he was bought out, he played more games for the Bridgeport Sound Tigers than he did in the NHL and Germany in that year. He almost played as many games in Germany than he did in the NHL.
God, what a bad contract that was.
His final three games in the NHL, 409 goals against average and an 855 save percentage.
Lol.
As a matter of fact, the last time he had over a 9-1, like a 91 save percentage in the NHL.
His first year with that contract.
His first year with that contract at a 9-1-9.
Yep.
And then it was awful ever since.
Yep.
And, of course, he also got his face broken by the left hand of Brent Johnson. Do not forget that, too.
So
he was bought out in 2013, which created a $1.5 million buyout per season. We are in year 6 of this buyout. And there's still 10 years left. The Rick DiPietro, you're getting paid $1.5 million
to go away. He's getting paid by the Islanders until 2029.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
That is
amazing. Hang on. June 3rd. So 3 days ago is the anniversary of the buyout of Rick DiPietro. 3 days ago is the anniversary of the 6th year of this buyout. And there's still 10 more years.
Yep. 11 more years. It's amazing.
Now, remember, Garth Snow gave him this contract in 2006.
Yeah.
Garth Snow remained the general manager
until
for 12 years.
Yeah.
Almost 12 years to the day. Absolutely 12 seasons.
Yep.
Yeah, we may have had Darcy Regier, but at least we saw playoff success, man. We even took your Islanders and kicked them to the curb. Because, oh yeah, by the way, DiPietro got hurt in that year that you guys tried to, you know, upset us as an 8 seed.
The only thing and that we
trashed poor Wade Dubowitz.
Yeah. The only thing that you can even compare with the Sabres is that they're still paying Christian Ehrhoff. But they're paying Christian Ehrhoff a little more than $850,000 until 2028. So just a little more than half of what Rick DiPietro is getting for a year less.
Oh, and it was signed far after.
Yeah.
The DiPietro contract. 15 years. There's a reason no one hands out those contracts anymore, Garth.
There's a reason that it's only 7 or 8 years now.
Because you, Garth Snow, decided to screw it up royally.
Well, he started. I think he didn't start it, it wasn't because of him.
Was Steve Shields' punches enough to make you think a little differently?
Maybe.
Garth,
Milbury started that with not wanting those Albatross contracts because of Alexei Yashin.
Yeah, thanks, Milbury. I would say,
but the real reason that they did that 7 to 8 years is because of Kovalchuk with the Devils.
Yes, when they tried to circumvent the cap the first time, and then they had to give a different contract because they were going to try to circumvent the cap in case he retired.
Yeah,
looks like they knew what they were doing all along.
Know who was the GM too?
Lou Lamoriello.
He knew what he was doing.
He knew what he was doing, that crafty guy.
Yeah.
This has been a long version of the Leftovers podcast.
Yeah.
And it started with some basketball. Oh, no, it started with Ryan Gates. It went into some basketball, and then we hit heavy into several things hockey, including, I mean, you've been listening to this, so of course you know what we've been going into.
Yep.
But Stanley Cup, Ryan O'Reilly, John Tavares, the Sabres. And, of course, laughing at this Garth Snow thing. I love it. So
it's fantastic.
Thank you.
It's fantastic.
Thank you, as always, for listening to the Leftovers podcast. And you can catch anything that you want to listen to on demand at WGR550.com. Dude, I'm going to be sad when there's no more hockey to watch.
Yeah, same here.
But it comes back to me. The hockey comes back to you because the draft is 2 weeks away, just about.
Yeah.
More than 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
And
you can count
NHL free agency after that.
Yep.
So don't worry. If you love your hockey.
16 days.
16 days to the draft. We still got some finals to take care of. See if Vegas can make a series of it. That's on Thursday night. And maybe, hopefully, Cleveland can make a series out of the NBA final.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
One can only hope, okay? You win a game, Cleveland, I'm back in, okay? That's your deal. I'm back into paying attention. So, hey, thanks for listening, as always. Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank Gregory.
This has been the Leftovers Podcast. Never make sports predictions that you'd be willing to truly back up, folks. There's flip-flops. There's quit jobs. There's horse poop. I mean, that guy didn't back up on it.
At least not yet.
I hope he doesn't, honestly. I'd rather he be a stiff.
Oh, he has to.
I'd rather the guy be a stiff on it. Yes. Ryan's getting some notoriety, and I'm loving it here. So, congrats, Ryan. You got everything you wanted and more out of this. Oh, boy. But, hey, thank you for listening. And, as always, clever thing here.